Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. Today we have Dr. Sean Hanna, and he is a Ty Lee Wilson Endowed Chair and Professor of Management at Wake Forest University School of Business. He's a retired U.S. Army colonel and the founder of 3ETHOS. Great title, great pedigree, great history, which we're going to dive into right away. So, Dr. Sean, why don't you just take a moment and tell everybody about really how you got to where you are today. And then we're going to dive into what 3ETHOS is, because our audience hasn't really heard about this yet. And it's fascinating. And I can't wait to dive in.
Sure, Matt. And thanks for having me on Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. It's a great opportunity for us to speak to the community out there about some of the things we're doing. My name again is Sean Hanna. I've spent about three decades in the Army, spent most of that time as a operational infantry officer commanding troops different places around the world in different combat and contingency operations. Later in my military career, I was selected to become a professor at West Point. And so the Army sent me off after a couple of master's degrees to go and do my PhD in leadership development out at the University of Nebraska. I went back to West Point, where I was the director of the leadership and management programs at West Point. And later, after the Army had been at war for about a decade in the global war on terrorism, the chief of staff of the United States Army, General Casey, George Casey, he asked me to stand up an Army-wide center called the Center for the Army Profession and Ethic, and which was responsible for looking at the Army as a profession and reinforcing our tenets that make us a honorable profession that gains trust and credibility, and also to research and discuss how we can build character-based leaders across the entire Army. And so I spent most of my last part of my career as the founding director of that Center for the Army Profession and Ethics. And at that point, I was approached by Wake Forest University, asking if I would come down here to North Carolina and stand up its Center for Leadership and Character here. And I did that, and I'm a senior faculty member here now at Wake Forest University. A lot of what I've studied throughout my career, particularly as a scholar, but also as a practicing leader, is this idea of the intersection of leadership and character, and leadership and what we call ethos, those core values and beliefs and ideals that a leader will hold and manifest out to allow them to positively influence others and organizations. And so I met Don Trone, who is pretty widely known in this community as the father of fiduciary. And we did a joint training session up at West Point. And in those conversations, we really found a lot of core intersections between my passions and interests and skills and Don's, and how we can apply this to this community of wealth management, financial advisors, and trustees and governors around the world, and make them better, better stewards, better governors, better leaders in the business that they do. So I came on as one of the founding partners with Don to help build 3ETHOS, and we've been creating a lot of science and support and different products and services to help push these ideas and concepts into this community to make it a better and more effective and powerful and honorable profession.
Let's break that down right out of the gate. You said leadership and character, but you have 3ETHOS. So did I miss something? What's the third one?
No, the 3ETHOS, we have developed a concept called behavioral governance, which is a natural extension of a lot of the work that has been done over the last few years. If you're familiar, behavioral finance came out of the gate and got a Nobel Prize on looking at the behavior of investors. What is the psychological and character-based factors that drive the investors in the markets? And of course, there was behavioral economics, the study of markets themselves and how the behaviors of individually move those markets. What has not been looked at to date is this idea of behavioral governance, looking at what are the psychological, neurological, character-based, ethos-based factors that are driving those that are the advisors and the governors of these processes that affect the markets. And so as we begin to unpack that, there are three elements. So you're right, we missed one there. And those three elements, those three rings of behavioral governance are leadership, stewardship, and governance. And it's those three combined, the three legs of the stool, that our research and science is showing are what really differentiate a top advisor, one that's manifested in the character to build the trust and credibility with those that they work with and advise and their clients, from those that are less high quality advisors.
Let's talk about the neurological capacity. What are we capable of? How are we able to either embrace or engage or distance ourselves from behavioral tendencies that might make us less effective?
Yeah, well, this is really cutting edge, fascinating research that a group of colleagues and I have been working on for many years now. We originally focused on leadership and studying the neurological capacities of great leaders. And it's amazing, through wiring up with a QEEG equipment, we can actually brain map leaders and we can assess their brains and what is the capacities in those brains that provide them the ability to be effective leaders. We've taken that research and those findings and we've applied them to this community. And we're doing a lot of work now to assess what are those neurological capacities that make a top advisor. Because ultimately, we don't do anything without brain activation. Everything we say, do, think, feel, smell, any biophysical movements, anything that we do, it emanates from the brain. And the brain has to have capacities in order for us to do that effectively. So we've identified so far six core brain capacities that drive this behavioral governance and make and differentiate a top advisor from others. Those include things like vision. There's a part of the brain where people are able to create and also to communicate effective and inspirational visions to others. We can directly measure the capacity in that part of the brain. We can measure self-complexity. How complex is an individual? Do they just see themselves as sort of a simplified human being, or do they are they able to envision themselves in a very complex way and how that they may float differently between the different social roles in their life, whether they're working with a client, working with a family office, working with a trust board, or the different roles and hats that they may play in their life. Another one is situational awareness. There are parts of the brain that make people more situationally aware. They can pick up on changes in their environment and how things are shifting, how the market's shifting, what are those leading indicators, and be able to take that information and to be able to process it to make knowledge out of that awareness. There's executive control, which is another center of the brain where we can identify those that have greater capacity to control their emotions, to control their thinking, to be able to operate with greater self-awareness and self-control in different social environments that they might be interacting in. And there's also parts of the brain that look at social astuteness. How politically savvy is the individual? And I don't mean politics in a negative way, but the ability to understand and work with others that might have competing interests and competing demands, and to have that social awareness and social astuteness to be able to be effective across different environments that have different competing demands. And then lastly, the sixth marker that we're looking at with neurological factors is procedural justice, which is that moral and ethical component to be fair and just and to be selfless and put the client's interest above one's own, et cetera. So we have these six neurological factors so far that we've identified that we're conducting a lot of intense research on, which informs our model of behavioral governance, which we also have created a psychological assessment to be able to tap in and measure the various elements of behavioral governance.
So you can get a nice cursory understanding of where this person sits on each of these three rings. And by the way, I do want to talk about the other two rings here in just a minute. And then, so let's say I take this assessment. Is the assessment all three rings, neurological capacity, stewardship, and leadership, or are they broken down differently?
Well, it depends, because each one, Matt, requires different types of technology and processes to measure. So The six neurological factors that I just described, we have to assess those through neuroscience. And so, yes, we can take an advisor and we can hook them up to a QEEG equipment, which with the modern technology, it's a very simple procedure. And within 20, 30 minutes, we can map their brain and be able to analyze them on these six factors. We also have the technology to go into a boardroom and let's say a trust board and or committee, and we can wire up simultaneously multiple individuals and watch them interact with one another. And to be able to actually pick up the brain patterns as one is speaking and others are listening, and to be able to measure the group level effects that are occurring in that room. So, for example, let's say you're an advisor and I hook you and a client up, and I can have you interact with that client and give them a proposal, and I can measure whether your brain is activated in those key areas where you would provide a visionary and inspirational message to that client, and whether the way that you are delivering, whether on the client's end, their brain is activated in the vision, inspiration components, and therefore getting excited and engaged in what the advisor might be offering them. Or to be able to pick up on, again, the procedural justice is the individual, as they're interacting with that client, are they activating in their brain that procedural justice? And even is the client perceiving that and picking up on that, that they can trust this individual and that they see this individual as having that prudence and procedural justice. Now, the inner two rings we're measuring with the behavioral governance instrument that we have created and validated. And so we have an actual survey instrument that measures the 10 factors that are part of the two psychological rings in the behavioral governance framework. Those we can either measure through a self-assessment or through a 360-degree assessment, where others in individuals rate the advisor, which can be any different individuals that advisor chooses. It could be more senior people, their own leaders. It could be peers. It could be clients or others that work for the advisor. So they can get 360-degree feedback on their behavioral governance as others see them.
Sean, how does all of this apply to a uniform fiduciary standard? And the reason why I'm asking that is just that outer ring, the neurological capacity that you just went through in great detail. And by the way, if you don't mind, I wouldn't mind having access to some of the things that you had sent me before the podcast, because I think it'll make the context of the podcast even better. But that outer ring, the neurological capacity, if I was acting in a fiduciary manner, I would assume that each of those six categories, right, I would be firing neurologically in the appropriate way. Is that a fair statement? Or am I hypersimplifying? Because I might be doing that, but help me with that.
You are generally correct, Matt, yes. You want the advisor to have the capability of enacting all six of those. And that's why, again, what we're measuring is the brain's capacity. But each one of those may not be called for in any one moment. And so, for example, I may not be in a moment where I really need to enact vision. Maybe I've already worked with the client and we've already created the vision for the client's future and their portfolio and everything else. But what might be needed in a particular situation is my social astuteness or my procedural justice. Maybe we've already created the portfolio mix. Well, now I've got to decide on individual products. And now I'm challenged with what products do I offer to that client? And of course, those product offerings may call on procedural justice and the need for me to be able to put the client first and do fair and honest and selfless service to that particular client.
How do you, through this whole process, how can you help change? And do you attempt to change and highlight behavior if after you've done all of the analysis, the neurological capacity measurement with all of this cool technology, what happens if in a leader or somebody who is going to be doing some governance work, how can you help them flesh out or improve areas that they might not have as much capacity for?
Well, I tell you, it's really cool, some of the emerging technology that's coming out now, Matt. If we're talking about the neurological capacities, there's something called neurofeedback. And neurofeedback is a technique that's been used successfully with elite athletes, with concert musicians, even some stock traders to improve their performance, where there's a protocol that is developed. Once we know what an exemplary brain looks like in a given area of capacity, procedural justice, for example, we can actually bring somebody into a center where we train their brain, where they essentially get a response feedback protocol that they get rewarded when their brain is firing in the way in that particular area where it matches the norm of an exemplary individual for procedural justice, for example. And so there's live brain mapping going on. And when the activation in that area is sensed that matches the desired norm, the individual gets a reward. And it's amazingly simple. For example, there may be a dune buggy on the screen and you can actually move the dune buggy with your brain, but that dune buggy will only move if your brain is firing in the desired way in the desired area of the brain that matches whatever we want to train that day, whether it's vision or procedural justice or social astuteness. And through this response protocol, it's been successfully shown that we can actually train the brain. And so we're looking into that technology. We have some partners that we're working with that are experts in that area that we're seeking to develop to be able to offer that sort of neurofeedback. But beyond that training the brain, we can also put people through traditional training, whether it's classroom instruction, online instruction, developmental exercises, self-development exercises, all things that 3ETHOS offers. And we could still assess the brain before and after this traditional training and actually see the changes that would be hoped for in the brain. Now that's the neurological aspects of the behavioral governance framework. The psychological aspects: aligned, attentive, authentic, accountable, adaptable, what we call the five A's that are part of the stewardship ring, or the five C's of the leadership ring, being courageous, competent, full of character, collaborative, and compassionate toward others. Those, again, we can train through more traditional training and education and developmental processes.
So in 2017, behavioral finance got the Nobel Prize. In 2002, the behavioral economics got the Nobel Prize. Are you submitting yourself for a Nobel Prize? If anybody was half paying attention to the beginning of this, this is some unbelievable technology. This is unbelievable thought leadership that you and your team are working on here to truly look at the intention of people across these three levels. So first off, do you know how, or I mean, have you guys already like filled out the Nobel paperwork?
Well, I told them that I'd be available to go to Oslo if they they would so choose. But yeah, and I mentioned that up front, not to necessarily place this in that same category, but I certainly think it could be, because to date, the other work on behavioral finance and behavioral economics has been very descriptive. It has been the pursuit of researchers to try to describe the behavior of the markets or to describe the behavior of investors. What we're doing in behavioral governance that is more unique is not just to describe what effective governance is in this world, but even more so to try to change it, to improve it, and to have a series of interventions and training and consulting and advisements and all that we can work with individuals or work with firms to help them to improve their behavioral governance. And that's what I think sets it apart from these other two areas that have led to Nobel Prizes.
Well, and I'm thinking about this from a practical standpoint, because a lot of what you're saying is very heady, obviously. And so I'm looking at this from, you know, like a designation. So there's the accredited independent fiduciary. You know, everybody's talking about a fiduciary standard, but you guys are truly testing a person's ability to be a fiduciary. Is that a fair statement?
It is. And that's what we think is the real exciting part of all of this, is to actually move the needle. And it isn't just a certification, although, you know, we are offering people to join the Behavioral Governance Society, which is meant to put a group of like-minded people together to help to advance this whole idea of behavioral governance. We don't see this as just, you know, we're one firm trying to establish our market out there in this area. It's more so to create a movement, a society of like-minded individuals that have said, hey, we as a community of advisors, we need to self-govern ourselves and pick ourselves up and move this profession forward. And understanding that there are many players in the profession that are certainly not top advisors. And the top advisors need to separate themselves, the wheat from the chaff here, and to differentiate themselves in a way where they can communicate effectively, not only that they are better, but why they're better.
Yeah.
What are those concepts that they are better on? And that's where we think the behavioral governance frameworks helps them to even just give them the language to discuss and to be able to communicate to others, you know, that they are more characterful, they are more, you know, collaborative, they are more attentive and aligned with their clients, and to be able to articulate that in an effective way. So not only does this framework help guide the development, but it also helps to guide the conversation. And that is something where if the industry takes that bull by the horn and stops worrying about whether, you know, the DOL standard or something else is going to be imposed from on high, and takes the initiative to proactively move itself forward, I think it's going to be in a much better place. And those advisors that take on that responsibility and help lead the profession forward, I think are going to be the ones that are going to share in the benefits of that in the future.
I'm thinking about this as the greatest sales tool ever, right? Okay, so here's the deal, Mr. and Mrs. Client. I want you to ask every other advisor that you've ever worked with if they've actually gone through this level of testing, because it drives me insane that there's been a line drawn. And Dr. Sean, I'm not trying to get on a soapbox here, but that the Department of Labor has specifically said this is what a fiduciary is, when they have no way to test it or measure it. They just drew an arbitrary line in the sand, which actually goes against what the CFP board says you should know and talk to your clients about. So this, to me, is the difference maker of all difference makers. I mean, here, Mr. Client, here is an actual mapping of my brain on how it works in these three areas. As you can see, I'm actually looking at one of your things. You know, I only scored a 13.6 in governance when it comes to analyzing. Just so you know, I brought in another person to help me with that, because I know that's an area that I might be deficient in. Or, hey, I started out as a 20.8 here. You know, my goal is to get to 29. And all of this will make more sense if people can see any of this stuff. But, you know, these are actual measurements of capability through all of these different testing. If you truly want to do what Aristotle and Plato and Socrates said is the greatest journey in the world, which is to the journey within oneself, why wouldn't you want to do this? I mean, you guys have to be busier than heck strapping this really cool machine onto people's heads.
Well, it certainly, everything that you say, Matt, is possibility. Not only can we assess the individual neurologically through the QEEG systems that I mentioned, but also psychologically, either self-assessment or 360-degree assessment. And the advisor can choose to use that for their own development, or for a group, like I said, like a board or a committee, to use it for the committee's development, or they could choose to share it with clients. I mean, that would be the ultimate act of transparency. And those that are high on these factors, obviously, that would give them a strong competitive advantage.
Yeah.
But, you know, even if they don't share their actual scores with others, just having that information and understanding where they are on them would help, as you mentioned, to realize that, hey, I need to get, you know, some help in on this area, or I need to really pay attention to this particular aspect because I tend not to, or this is a more of a weakness and a strength of mine. But they can also use these concepts to have the conversations with their advisor of the key factors that they're continuously striving on and working on as either an individual advisor or as a firm.
I just think this is beyond fascinating. I've interviewed people, who created unbelievably insane algorithms for stocks and bonds, and people who have created unbelievable formulas for actuarial tables for life insurance. I've never talked to anybody about what you have created here and what you guys are doing. I could pick your brain all day long, but I think I'd nerd out so much that our listeners would be like, okay, Matt, you've taken this too far. So with that, if somebody wants to engage you, to engage 3ETHOS, what do they do? What is the best way for them to kind of dip their toe in the water? Is there a website, a point of contact? Is there a test that they can take? Help us with that, please.
Yeah, absolutely, Matt. The best point of contact is Don Trone, our CEO, the father of fiduciary. And you can email him at don@3ethos.com. And that's the best way to get a kick started. And from there, we'll figure out the best way to help anyone that is interested in engaging. And, as I've mentioned throughout our podcast here, there's many ways that 3ETHOS can engage with individuals and or firms through offering training, education, speaking at key events to help inform and highlight what we're doing in behavioral governance. We conduct assessments, as we mentioned, both potentially neurologically and psychologically, but also with internal consulting. We've gone into committees and done a 360 on every committee member, plus have the committee rate themselves as a body. And it's something I haven't mentioned yet, that these different factors here for stewardship, leadership, and governance can all be measured at the committee level, where 10 people on the committee all rate the committee as a whole and say, hey, how good are we at these different aspects of governance or leadership and stewardship, and then create internal developmental plans to help bring that committee up and improve its capabilities and capacities to serve. And that's why the model is good for anyone who's in a governance or fiduciary responsibility position.
So if you are a financial services agent, advisor, professional, if you run a broker-dealer, if you run an RIA, if you run an IMO or an FMO, if you are hanging out with a bunch of people who are or who are top advisors, this could be one of the most amazing and fun, educational, informative exercises that you could ever take anybody through. I mean, there's top producer conferences all over the place. You all need to seriously consider bringing next level psychological assessment into this, because one, you're going to learn an enormous amount about yourself. You're going to learn a whole bunch about your top producers, and you're going to separate yourself by doing something nobody else did. You know, many, many years ago, when FAMA and all of those guys were talking about behavioral finance and behavioral economics, all of those different pieces, the early people who got on board with that they created dimensional fund advisors. They have all of these different things now. I can't imagine that in the next 3 to 5 years, this is not going to be more commonplace. And here's the kicker of all of it, is it should be more commonplace. We have the technology. We have incredibly intelligent people like the team at 3ETHOS to be able to help you with this. I think you all need to go ahead and reach out to Don. We'll make sure that we have his contact information in our show notes. And Sean, thank you so much for this. This was super fun. And I would love to have you back on the show later down the road after you've had an opportunity to continue to do more and more on this so that we can continue to learn from you, if you don't mind.
That'd be great, Matt. Thank you for your time today. It's been great to talk to you and your audience.
So if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. And if you wouldn't mind, take a moment to rate the podcast. We would really love to have that feedback. And this is one of those topics that all of you need to think about. There's somebody that you know should listen to this. There's somebody that you should share this podcast with. There's somebody who you know, whether it's personally or professionally, who has always been fascinated with their ability and science's ability to really take a look at how you make decisions, especially from a leadership capacity, stewardship capacity, and a neurological capacity. So go ahead and take a look at the show notes and email Don. And for everybody at 3 Ethos, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at iris.xyz.